This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, November 20th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Perhaps you're listening on the app instead, or by podcast later in the day, or catching us on social media. It's nice to have you along to get this Wednesday going. I got a question for you. Has soup season begun for you yet? It has definitely done that in the Kreitlow household, where we've already done double duty. I made a batch of chili 2 days ago, and Sherry made a batch of chicken vegetable soup. Both of them, of course, in the Instapot because, you know, one of us are in the cult of the Instapot. But yeah, soup and chili season is already underway. Coming up on the program today, let's work our way from back to front, shall we? Todd Alba is going to wrap things up for us at about 7:50 this morning. At 7:30, we're going to be talking to the author of books geared toward middle schoolers. In our homeroom segment, we'll talk about writing books and novels for that kind of a niche audience. But she's also active in opposing book bans, and we'll talk to her about recent election results and political activity, and you know how she thinks that might affect efforts for children to have a well-rounded education when folks aren't, you know, sticking their nose into other people's business. Which gets us to what we're going to talk about this hour. In Congress, next to nothing has gotten done over the past 2 years with Republicans in charge of the U.S. House. Looks like they'll be in charge of the House and the Senate and the White House this time around. Will anything get done? There's not a lot of strong signals about it, but what's gotten done so far is one particularly bigoted member introducing a bill to bully the first transgender person elected to Congress before she is even sworn into office. We'll have details about that. We also will tell you all about our weekly climate check report, the wave of new jobs and projects in school districts around Wisconsin, helping save taxpayers money, create jobs, embrace cleaner energy sources. We'll be talking to a journeyman electrician from the IBEW about all the work that's happening around the state, work that is very much in jeopardy now that Donald Trump will be coming into office and threatening to undo all the progress that's been made by the Inflation Reduction Act. So all that and much more still ahead. Along the way, you are certainly free to join us at 855-75-CIVIC. This is the part where I put the number up on the screen. There it is, Pat. 855-75-CIVIC for folks watching on social media. 855-752-4842. Or you can put a comment in the sections of Facebook or YouTube, the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, the Civic Media Facebook page as well. Temperatures are about 20 degrees colder than yesterday. So again, make sure that the youngins are prepared for the bus stop or for being dropped off and playing outside for a bit before school starts. It is 35 here in Chippewa Falls. Wausau is at 36. La Crosse is at 36. Amory is at 36. Wisconsin Rapids, 36 degrees. Now Green Bay is at 45. Madison, 41. Waukesha, 37. And at Radio Park in Racine, it's 45 degrees, where we find ourselves saying good morning to Mr. Greg Bach. Mr. Bach, good morning. Is it soup season by you?
We are slowly approaching it. We are using our Instapot regularly. Well, I shouldn't say we. My wife is. She makes stroganoff. There's a chicken casserole recipe she uses. She makes her chili in the Instapot. The chili will be happening very soon. I think we should venture into soup land, though. We don't generally go soups, but we definitely... There's always a ready amount of chili in the household.
Sure. And I, like I said, I did traditional chili this week. I'm sure next week will be our white chicken chili, which is always a hit in the Instant Pot, as is the chicken tortilla soup. So, yeah, we're just going to do an Instant Pot recipe swap segment on here one of these days.
I love a chicken tortilla soup.
Isn't it? Oh God, when it's done right, it is just the best.
So tasty.
So we're talking about all of this stuff about cold weather and, you know, we're past the election. It's November and everything else. Can we talk about something summer related? Can we talk about Pat Murphy?
Let's talk about Pat Murphy here,
Pat
folks.
Pat Murphy, your National League Manager of the Year. Could not be better deserved. I know we've talked about it all season long, and even though things did not end the way we would have liked at season's end, still, for Murph, at age 65, to lead the Brewers to 93 wins, a division title, he becomes the first manager in Brewers history to win the award since it was introduced in 1983, and so we offer our thoughts and prayers to Craig Counsell and his supporters during this difficult time.
I just want to reiterate, just take a few moments to reiterate where we were this time, I don't know, well, this time last year, but I should say more, earlier this year, where the pundits, the analysts, I would say even, and the fans were nervous, but they had written the Brewers and Pat Murphy off. They're like, this is a young team, it's a new, you're getting rid of the, quite frankly, the best coach in baseball, like they got rid of him, so all this stuff, and I think, you know, the biggest thing that Pat Murphy did, besides putting together an amazing team, and 93 wins is fantastic, and division is great, but he really brought back the joy of baseball to Milwaukee. Yeah. People enjoyed watching it, but man, he and they were having such a good time. You couldn't help it. It was infectious to just, and Pat, he's just like, it's Pat Murphy. It's like your dad was coaching baseball.
Yeah, and he was a very happy college coach. He'd coached at a couple of different colleges. He had coached Craig Counsell back in the day. Mm-hmm. Counsell eventually went back to his old coach and said, would you join me on the bench? And then Counsell goes and abruptly leaves.
Yeah.
Murph agrees to step in instead of following Counsell to Chicago. And look at all the good things. I mean, in some ways, it saved what could have been a multi-year slump for the Brewers.
Yes.
You know, with Counsell leaving, if this season had gone very poorly, you know, everybody would have been let go. We would have heard the word rebuilding for the next 5 years. And instead, there's very exciting baseball to watch at American Family Field. On the American League side, again, I know I'm more enthusiastic about this than you, but I'm very happy to report that former Brewers catcher Stephen Vogt is the American League Manager of the Year.
Very nice.
The 40-year-old Vogt managed the Cleveland Guardians. He is the first ever to go from Major League player to Manager of the Year in just 2 years.
Holy cow!
No. And again, I just thought he... You could see there was something about it because by that time he was like this crusty old, you know, a veteran of what, 37, 38 years old when he was with the Brewers. But you could just see he had that manager look about him. He knew the field. And so both Vogt and Murph each got 27 of the 30 first place votes possible. So congratulations to both of them. I thought that was just that is a nice thing to hear in late November. You know, we'll take any kind of reminder of summertime that we can get.
I had to check like four sources. I had to make sure I'm not just like looking at someone hoping it's going to happen. I'm like, it really happened. And the other thing too, I want to bring up is in springtime or like in fall, February, March, they were also talking about the fact, well it's Pat Murphy's going to sign a 3-year contract, but really we're waiting for Ricky Weeks to be ready because we've got him on the coaching staff as well. And he'll be the guy. And don't worry if it doesn't work out, Ricky will be the guy. And I think probably within the first 2 months of the season, no one's really talking about Ricky Weeks as Pat Murphy's eventual replacement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, if Ricky did a very commendable job, especially anytime Murphy got, you know, tossed from the game,
which
happened a couple times.
Yeah.
Ricky is perfectly capable. Nobody's taking anything away from him. I'm just glad that it didn't overshadow, you know, what Murph was ready to step into. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, good for him, and I'm sure that Weeks has a bright future either with the Brewers or whatever happens down the road. He's obviously much younger, and good things still await him.
Yeah.
As I was putting together what was in the Up North News Daily newsletter and on social media, there is this sports note that came in from Christina Lurie that I would have missed otherwise. And she puts a note of congratulations to the women's volleyball team at Viterbo University of La Crosse for winning their first ever conference title during their first year in a new conference, the CCAC. The V-Hawks are 25-9 on the season, and they have qualified to host a first-round match in the NAIA National Tournament. They will be hosting Iowa Morningside starting at 2 p.m. on Saturday. So congratulations to them as well. That reminds me to scroll down and double-check the Badger women's volleyball team. They are now ranked 6th in the country, and it is Wednesday, so tonight they will host the 16th-ranked Golden Gophers of the University of Minnesota. We haven't talked about the Marquette basketball team at all. The men defeated Purdue. Marquette is 15th ranked in the country. Purdue is the number 6 team in the country. And Marquette beat them 76-58 last night to snap the Boilermakers' 39-game regular season non-conference winning streak. Purdue hadn't lost a regular season non-conference game since December of 2020. It was the fourth longest such streak in NCAA history. Cam Jones for Marquette had 17 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. That's only the third triple-double in school history. The last one was done by a young man, you might recall him, Dwayne Wade, back in the 2003 NCAA regional final. The Marquette men, we're getting up on Thanksgiving now, and so that's when all these very interesting and exotic tournaments take place. Exotic, I guess, Greg, would be the right way to put it. On Saturday, Marquette will be at Paradise Island in the Bahamas.
Ooh, what?
To face Georgia in a tournament there. Oh, yeah. And the Badger men will be, as noted before, at the Greenbrier Resort in West Virginia for the Greenbrier tip-off. They will play UCF on Friday afternoon. Pre-game starts at 3 on Civic Media stations around the state and on the Civic Media app as well. So, yeah, we're getting into that time of year where people are kind of, or teams are going to these very wonderful places some games.
Who's going to the Bahamas now? Who's going to the Bahamas?
The Bahamas would be the Marquette men's basketball team.
Playing against who?
Playing against Georgia.
Neither team or their home stadium or arenas in the Bahamas.
No. This is like
I've got to go to a dentist conference in Las Vegas. Like,
yes.
Come on.
Tahiti. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And from quick one more note from Roger, writes on Facebook, the Jets fired their GM yesterday. This leaves Aaron Rodgers in an uncertain future for next year. He should retire. No, he's going to demand the GM role, and the owner there is going to give it to him.
Yep,
because that's the kind of team the Jets are. All right, we will unpack some of the news of the day coming up next, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Today's history lesson includes a birthday for Dierks Bentley. That's coming up in 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio. The music came on, Greg, and the first thing I saw at the bottom of my screen is, would you please play Men Without Hats Safety Dance? Thanks. That's when I realized I was looking at the wrong text line. That's the WCFW text line. Up the dial here in Chippewa Falls.
Sure, I guess.
Yeah, I'm like, no, we're not. Nobody's put in a request for bumper music. Having said that, you can put in a request for bumper music. We'd be tickled if we started getting requests.
That'd be fantastic.
Hey, play this at the start of a segment. That would be awesome.
This bumper music goes out to Lorraine
in Lake
from
Valley.
Jimbo.
Thank you so much. 855-75-CIVIC if you'd like to text us your bumper music things as well. I missed one or two sports notes that I wanted to get to. Just a reminder that the next Packer game is Sunday at 3:25. They will be hosting the San Francisco 49ers at Lambeau Field, and the Milwaukee Bucks are at home tonight against the Chicago Bulls. I mentioned the newsletter earlier. I should also note that on social media for Up North News, you can find all kinds of good stories as well, including a photo. I was not prepared to see this. I knew that the Wisconsin Historical Museum was undergoing a big renovation near the state capitol. I didn't realize it was being torn down and basically rebuilt, but you can find that on our social media feed. You can see that the building is, in fact, being demolished. There will be a five-story, 100,000-square-foot building housing nearly 290 million historical items when it opens in 2027. And in the Up North News Daily newsletter, over the past 7 years, home values have jumped if they're in a particular location, if they're near an Aldi, a Trader Joe's, or a Whole Foods. Houses in those areas, their values have jumped anywhere from 45 to 58%. Read more about that in our daily newsletter as well. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Let's get to, I think we have the official Trump transition team music. The Trump transition theme song is ready to roll. Let's get the update. Hit it. All right, let's see who's in the clown car now. Oh, my goodness. Dr. Oz, Greg? Seriously? Dr. Oz.
Didn't I say it to you this morning before, and your wife, Dr. Krylo, said, God help us all?
No, she said, kill me now, I believe is what she said. From across the house, I could hear it. And that was her comment on Dr. Oz being chosen by Trump to head up the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Oh, God.
And then, just when you thought, okay, all right, that's fine. Next comes Linda McMahon.
Oh, brother!
The wrestling executive for Secretary of Education. There is this great meme, if you don't use memes or GIFs, there's one of Leonardo DiCaprio. I think it's from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where he's just in this lazy chair and he sees something on TV and he's holding a beer in his hand and he just sits up and he points at the TV. He's like, yeah, that. That's how Donald Trump is picking his cabinet. He is sitting there scrolling through late night TV and whatever face he sees next, he's like, oh, let's put that person in my cabinet. Dr. Oz, Linda McMahon.
I tweeted yesterday that he is basically just casting a reboot of The Apprentice.
Yeah, it's The Next Apprentice.
He's also casting losers. Like, Linda McMahon could not get elected to save her life. Dr. Oz lost to John Fetterman. I mean, he is just surrounding himself with these people. He's surrounding himself with people that his followers know. He's not surrounding himself with qualified individuals who have advanced experience in their fields. He is surrounding himself with this literal superstars, to use a wrestling term, of his universe. All his sycophants, followers, and people know these individuals and are like, yes, Lynn McMahon rules. I love The Rock.
Right. And then one more that isn't that's just as alarming, though not as well known. Billionaire Howard Lutnick is his choice for Commerce Secretary. He is, again, a co-chair of the Trump transition team, so much for draining the swamp. Now he's going to become Commerce Secretary. And he is huge into crypto.
Yeah.
So we've got a billionaire crypto pusher as Commerce Secretary. What could go wrong?
Oh, you know? Nothing, right?
Alicia puts on YouTube, at least it's not Lauren Boebert. Well, thanks. Now you've jinxed that. That should be coming up sometime real soon. Which takes me to our other story to get to this morning, and that would be one of Lauren Boebert's colleagues, Nancy Mace, out of Georgia, I believe. And this is all about a bill that she's going to be introducing specifically to target one of the newest members of Congress, rather. So Nancy Mace of South Carolina, I meant to say, not Georgia, has announced plans to introduce a measure to bar transgender women from using women's restrooms and changing rooms at the Capitol complex. Keep in mind that women couldn't even get access to restrooms, easy access to restrooms in Congress on the floor of the House until 1975. And now you've got a woman in there who is looking to bully and block access to Representative-elect Sarah McBride, a Delaware Democrat who has served quite honorably in the Delaware legislature for years, focused on issues like paid family leave, childcare access, raising wages. But now, even before she's been sworn in, she's become a convenient target for hate-centered Republicans who haven't been able to pass any significant legislation for the past 2 years, but they are going to take time out to vote on banning the first transgender member of Congress from using a bathroom. And let's be clear why they're doing this. And I am drawing a direct line. They're doing this because they can't ban women overall. They can't ban black people. They can't ban gay and lesbian people. They always need a new group to hate, even though they are fellow humans who have value, who deserve to be treated with value, and who work on issues and are duly elected by their constituents. But instead, there's always a group to go after. So they'll go after transgender people. They'll go after immigrants. And if this keeps up, if people do not stand up to this level of bullying, they will go after more fellow Americans. And as Trump has promised, doing so using American troops on trumped up charges related to exercising your freedom to protest. And again, if you're not drawing a straight line all the way through that, if you think it's not possible, then you're not really looking at just how capable this administration is.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's electric. All right, we're back on Up North News Radio, and Melissa Baldoff joins us for our weekly conversation called Climate Check, where we look at some of the various issues on how we deal with the changing climate and the opportunities that it presents, especially here in Wisconsin. Melissa, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. You know, we're looking now toward 2025 and what the new year will bring, and hopefully a continuation of the best of what we've seen in 2024. I mean, we've seen, you know, the markets have taken off. We've seen that inflation has been tamed by and large, and we've really seen growth in a particular job sector, actually made up of many other sectors, but we're gonna get right into the thick of it with one of the folks who's essentially on the front lines about the jobs that are being created in, you know, new energy and in green energy fields like that. And Melissa, we've spoken before about the role that union labor is going to play in all this, right?
Yeah, we have. We know that one of the great things about the growth in the clean energy sector, which we talked not that long ago about all of the, you know, fantastic growth there, you know, more than 73,000 jobs in the clean energy sector now in Wisconsin, which is fantastic. And so many of them are good paying family supporting union jobs, which is really wonderful. And we know that that's really important for our families, for our workers, for our economy. And we have always been excited to welcome in, you know, some of our partners in organized labor to talk to us here on the show. And so I'm really excited that we've got somebody to join us here today from IBEW Local 158. Yeah. We've got Mark Bohm here to join us and talk a little bit about, you know, what he's seeing out in the field.
Yeah, Mark Bohm is a journeyman and a project foreman for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Mark, hello. How are you? Thank you for being here today.
Good. Good. Yourself?
Very good. Thanks. Thanks. Can you tell us about, you know, what kind of work are you doing right now? We'll get into all kinds of the broad spectrum of work, but by and large, when you're on any given job site, what is your work like for the most part?
Right now I'm doing a project. We're remodeling middle school additions and remodeling the core school going through, and there's new automated controls in the building to help save the school district money on energy as far as setting temperatures and occupancy sensors for the lights, and temperatures come down at a certain time of the day, mainly the evening when there's no occupancy, to save energy.
How long have you been doing this electrical work, Mark?
This is my 26th year.
26th year. So you've seen a few things change over those 26 years.
Yes.
I am immediately thinking, of course, about some of what you described there, and I'm oversimplifying. I acknowledge, but it was, you know, wires and light switches and maybe a thermostat or a couple of thermostats, and just in the few controls that you talked about, which have the potential to save a lot of money later, but to set all that up, these are not small, simple jobs. I'm guessing they're nothing like what you saw 25 years ago.
No, everything is run through a computer program. It's not just a simple on-off. It's all programmed to what they feel is to get the peak efficiency out of everything.
Yeah, and that's where I figured we wanted to talk about the union labor aspect of it, because these jobs are getting to be more complex. They do require, you know, a skill level. Now, again, it's one that can be trained. It's just that it's not, it's tougher to come right off the street and do these kinds of things. So, Mark, can you talk a little bit about either apprenticeships or the kind of training when you see new men and women coming on the job right now? You know, what kinds of things are done to help get them up to speed?
Well, when they day one, they start out as a helper and they're working with other people that are with skills, and they're learning. And if they take it, let's just say if they take an interest in the field, our local has a great apprenticeship program, and they can further their knowledge in the classroom as far as book work on it and getting the theory of it. And then in the field, they're learning the terminations, the wiring, the bending of the pipe, that kind of stuff. So it's really, a lot of it is up to the individual, how far they want to go in the trade. I mean, as we've been talking, there's a lot going on and coming up as far as with the energy and the economy and things like that. So we just train. You're always training. Even if the person doesn't take an interest in apprenticeship, but they just want to be an electrician, then every day they're training, and a journeyman. Mm-hmm. They're on the job training to learn how to do the task to be employable.
And do you see that there are a lot of opportunities for people to get into this trade, you know, and other trades with some of this clean energy work? Do you see that there's, you know, do you think there's a lot of work available for them coming up here down the line?
Well, like presently right now, and I don't know if you want to call it clean energy, I kind of do it because it's recycling. There's a lot of digesters going on for the farms. Yeah. And mm-hmm. We presently have a lot of calls that aren't being filled because we don't have the manpower to do it. So, and there's been a couple projects the last year, the year before, there's a lot of farming in this area for these digesters. And I don't know if that qualifies as clean energy, but it's trying to lessen the pollution in the ground per se.
Oh no, it very much fits in that whole category of trying to reduce, you know, carbon footprints and things like that. So it's interesting that you kind of say what we're hearing all the time is that there's work to be had out there. It's a matter of finding, you know, the bodies to do it. And when I come back to that point of, you know, trained union laborers doing it, it reminds me that the Inflation Reduction Act is in part a wage protection bill, because by doing that, you're, what are we avoiding here? We're avoiding what, lesser trained crews coming in from out of state, and maybe they're underpricing you, but you're not getting a good product for the money. Is that what we're guarding against here?
I'm just a believer in the apprenticeship program and skilled labor. As far as the employee knowing more, I can't say what it's guarding, I guess. I believe our contractors are securing as much work as they can, and the better trained and skilled workforce we have, the more work that we can acquire. So therefore, with all the training and all the money that's going to the training, I think that greatly helps have more employable people at a better wage.
Mm-hmm. And about how long does it take somebody to go through an apprenticeship program? You know, so starting with somebody, you said, talked about somebody who's starting as a helper, and it's somebody who says, hey, I really like this kind of work, and I want to have a career in this kind of work. About how long does it take somebody to,
about five,
you know,
years,
really get up to speed? 5 years.
Yep.
Okay.
That's with school and on the job experience, or on the job hours, excuse me.
Okay.
Now, they're paid for, they get paid to go to school. Their employer pays them, so they don't miss a, quote unquote, miss a day. There's night school that they do on their time, but any schooling they do during the day, say the school on Tuesday, their check is a 40-hour check. I mean, they don't miss any money for that. It's all paid. So it's really a good deal for a person that is truly interested in electrical and wants to be an apprentice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to ask you, you're actually going to help out with my grandson's homework here. He lives in another state out west. He is looking at following in the footsteps of his uncle, who's an electrician. So he's been learning about shadowing him and what the apprenticeship is. But he wanted to do one of his research papers on a career in the electrical trades. And that included, you know, making the case that, you know, electrical trade careers are extremely necessary for a growing and improving world. Now, I know we kind of talked about this at the beginning of it as well with the jobs you're working on. But if I had my grandson here posing it to you and saying, you know, Mark, is the electrical trades, is that something, is that a career that's necessary for this country and for this economy to get better, what would you tell them and why?
Yeah, everything's dealing with automation. Mainly, a lot of stuff is for machines to do with some of the harder tasks for us, so we don't have to do, so we don't have to do them, and, you know, wear and tear on our bodies. Yeah, electricians are in great need. When I was a youngster, I remember my dad always telling me to get a job that a machine can't replace you, as far as like factory work and stuff like that, where they can just put a new machine in and take from having five guys operate that same procedure to one. When you're an electrician, you're the one putting in the machine. There's a problem with the machine, you're the one there troubleshooting it, helping the factory reps to fix it. You know, they can't have a machine replace what you do.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why I'm going to get a phone call right after this from my grandson. He's going to say, Grandpa, why didn't you talk to this guy before my paper was due? This is exactly what we needed in there. But it lays it out so well, Melissa, of you know, where we're going from here, continuing to not just, you know, grow the economy, but grow the careers that make it up.
It really does. And it's one of those things that, you know, we've talked about before, and I think we'll continue to talk about, is why, you know, it was so important for the Inflation Reduction Act to focus on investing in union jobs, investing in the trades, investing in these apprenticeship programs, and then really helping to connect young people to those opportunities. And now we're really starting to hear young people learn more about the trades and find out, hey, this is where I can build a really great career that's going to pay me a very good wage, great benefits, where I have the opportunity in a lot of cases to be my own boss, to start my own business, to really control my own hours and what I'm doing. without taking on a whole bunch of debt. So I think that's just an incredible aspect of what we're able to do when we really think about how we solve problems. And if we're going to try to solve problems in ways that, you know, that really connect the dots on a lot of issues.
So Mark, I don't mean to end it on a down note, but we're just about out of time. And I did want to get this question in here. If in the future, and we're trying not to dwell a lot on politics here, but I'm talking just about the money itself. If between a Congress and a legislature, if a lot of the investments in the Inflation Reduction Act were to be pulled back, you know, that nothing new would be spent beyond what's already currently in the pipeline, and then they just cut it off and it's like the Inflation Reduction Act never happened. What would that look like for the trades in Wisconsin overall?
Well, I think it would definitely be a detriment. It'd be programs that were in development would be stymied if there wasn't that, let's say, the grants and the funds available from the government. And years ago, when I worked at a biofuel company that was in 2008 during Obama's term, there was lots of clean energy credits out there. This place was taking paper mill sludge, plastic, newspaper, grinding it up, making a pellet out of it, and selling it to the coal burners. Well, when the regime changed and the Republican Congress came in, first thing they like to do is they like to get rid of anything that's clean energy. Well, that place went from a booming industry that was going to add on and employ more people to, we're going 40 hours a week and we got to try to find buyers for our material. Because the joke always was that these coal places would buy the product, and who knows what they actually did with it, humorously, because they got the credit once they received it. So with the clean energy credit at that time, that was promoting a lot of jobs.
Yeah, you can definitely see the difference then between the two different political scenarios there. Mark Bohm, thank you very much for telling us more about your work as a journeyman, a project foreman with IBEW, and what the Inflation Reduction Act has done, and for the career field overall. It's been very educational for us. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Melissa. We'll have more Up North News Radio after this. From Chippewa Falls, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Not many more classic intros than that, is there?
Nope.
Norm Greenbaum, Spirit in the Sky. Norm is 81 years old today. No, I'm sorry, 82. Hadn't done the math on that one. I did do the math on the next one because this guy was born on the same day. President Joe Biden is 82 years old today. Happy
nice
birthday, Mr. President. This is today's history lesson for this Wednesday, November 20th. If it's Wednesday, it's Melissa Kay.
Hello,
host of the new, soon-to-be award-winning program, Community Conversations. Community Stories with Melissa Kay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well,
welcome
good
back.
Apparently, thank you. You were on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe last night.
I was. We had a fun conversation.
Apparently, you did because the comments are rolling in how much people enjoyed it. So, you know, this thing about you having conversations with people, I really think it's going to catch on.
Yeah, you know, apparently people talking, it's a good thing.
People like talking to you.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to just, you know, ash can a lot of this music stuff and just hear more from Melissa about her life.
She's very talk-to-able.
She is very well, talk-to-able, yes.
Because, see, it's not about me and my life. It's about people and their lives and their experiences, which is what makes it good. Because if we were just talking about me, I don't know if anybody would show up.
Oh,
wow.
That we love this all the time. Like when you were looking for a food truck and what show that you're in and, you know, remodeling your house. Lydia has helped you with that. So
We did tease my show on your show for like months. So,
well, that's true. There was a bit of a buildup. So
a bit.
Okay, we'll take a smidge of credit for that. also on the birthdays today, Dick Smothers of the Smothers Brothers, 85 today. Bo Derek is 68 years old today, and Dierks Bentley is 49. On this day in 1965, the number one song was by the Supremes. Now, you might be saying, wait, didn't you guys just play this? And the answer is no, not exactly. We played recently, the Supremes had hit the chart the first time with, you know, Baby, Where Did Our Love Go? I dare you to play these two songs side by side and say, oh, yeah. Wait, that happened a lot in the 60s.
Wait, Barry, I'm sorry, Mr. Gordy, this song is just like the, just do it anyways? All right.
Yes. Cool, I guess. Yeah, we're going to take the twist. And we're going to call it the Peppermint Twist.
Oh,
my. And then
gosh,
we're going to twist again like we did last summer. I'm sure other people have done entire shows on songs that were like, yep, let's just re-rack that formula. Just tweak it a little bit.
Oh, let's not even talk about like the movie world. Can we mention Fast and Furious?
Well, that's true.
Just take one thing
if you can,
and keep doing it.
If you can have 9,000 sequels to a movie, sure. Why can't you have sequels to a song? I love that.
Fair.
The number one hit this day in 1971 was a movie theme from Isaac Hayes.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine dog?
Oh, all right.
Shaft!
You picked that.
You know, Greg, we're gonna talk later about the vernacular for detectives. It's a perfectly usable word on radio.
Okay,
I'm not gonna say it here now, but it was in the song there. Just
okay,
now.
Pat.
Yeah, the Cuban Missile Crisis ended on this day in 1962. On this day in 1974, the United States Department of Justice filed an antitrust suit against Ma Bell, AT&T. It led to the breakup of the Bell system, which had a virtual monopoly on phone traffic. So it can be done. It was done 50 years ago today. Why can't we do it with big tech, DOJ? Looking at you, Merrick Garland. Although he had a few other things on his plate as well. So. Oh, well, the more birthdays today. Joe Walsh, formerly of the Eagles, the James Gang, and so much more. He's 76 years old today. Another iconic intro. Yep. How many people, again, I don't play guitar, but how many, what percentage of new guitar owners, players eventually try to do this one?
Oh, 150% of them.
Let's see. We've got another birthday today. The late Dr. John, known more for his what was called voodoo rock in the New Orleans scene, but he did have a single in 1973 with Right Place and Wrong Time.
Oh, yeah.
Got a lot of that today. Right place, but it must have been wrong time. Dr. John, born this day in 1941, passed away 5 years ago. This one's not a number one. It peaked at number four on this day, but it's so classically 70s, I couldn't leave it alone. Because, Melissa, where else would you hear a song about the amorous adventures of two rodents?
And only the 70s.
Only the 70s, and only the Captain and Tennille.
It's also the decade that gave us the song Ben, so...
Right, so we're singing about a lot of rodents here. Yep.
Muskrat,
candlelight. Oh, yeah, as Greg would say.
What was wrong with you back in the 70s, Pat?
It was a time. It was on this day in 1976 that Paul Simon opened up Saturday Night Live dressed as a turkey in honor of Thanksgiving and tried to play it straight as a bit. Here's a little sample of it.
She seems so glad to see me. I just smiled.
He's trying to do Still Crazy After All These Years, nice and straight. Dressed as a turkey.
Still crazy after all.
And when he does the, and he raises his turkey arms.
Raises his little turkey arm, yes, his little drumstick.
Forget it, Richard.
and he calls on Lord, and again, that's the whole bit that they were able to get, you know, Paul Simon dress up that way. We wouldn't do that for Melissa. We'll talk to her next week ahead of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Hey, congrats on the show.
Thank you. Hope I get to do a live remote tonight, and good it's not deal. Freezing.
Oh, yes, exactly. All right, enjoy. We'll talk to you later. All right, we'll tell you about the national.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.